Coffee and Cream with Rogers and Benning on Hale Varsity Radio.
Welcome back to Coffee and Cream in the Morning on Hale Varsity Radio, powered by Currency, alongside Mike Sauter for most likely the final segment of your day today.
Thank God.
I'm Andrew Rogers. Okay, well, now I know how you really feel about Brandon Vogel.
No. It's nothing.
Who is joining us now. Brandon is the managing editor for Hale Varsity. Brandon, good morning.
Morning, Mike. I'll try to send you out on top. Andrew, are you flying solo for the rest of the show?
No, DB is coming back. Thank goodness.
Oh, gotcha.
Thank goodness.
Damon has the kids, take him to school, you know, whatever that is.
I can only handle 1 hour with Mike.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I don't like you
get
either.
I get it. So.
And you can only handle 15 minutes, so that's why you're here for this segment. Brandon, you know, lots happening this week. It's so week two now of spring ball, spring practice, I should say. Last week was a big week, kind of everybody getting their feet wet with the coaching staff, actually seeing them in the flesh, in person, doing their thing. Had a big recruiting weekend on Friday. We'll talk about all of that. But fill in the blank. The biggest takeaway from the first week of spring ball was what?
How much I think road there is still to cover. You know, I think my biggest takeaway from week one was you know, the surprising thing with me with Thursday's practice was, and I know you guys have talked about this. We talked about it amongst our Hale varsity staff of kind of everybody doing a little bit of everything. Now, you know, the offensive linemen aren't working on punting, but everybody was kind of going through all the
that
drills.
That would be fun to watch.
Yeah.
It would be fun to watch. Maybe spring game halftime show. But it's interesting. Like they're starting at a very, like, let's just teach football level, at least was my read of it. And, you know, yes, they're Big Ten football players. They know how to play the game, but they're starting there for a reason. So I think that was the biggest thing. I kind of look at week two, I go into it and, you know, maybe rightly or wrongly, a lot of times we go in and be like, oh, you know, what's this running back race look like? And it almost feels like too early for any of that. It still feels so very open-ended to me.
And it also feels like that way at the quarterback position. I mean, they were working on how to properly hand placement to take a snap under center. Like that's what we saw on Thursday. That is like the elementary or basic stuff. And then how much of a shot do you give Heinrich Harburg to play in packages, I guess, would be the term. Because they're going to run a lot of power and three tight end and stuff like that. They want to run the ball. I think a lot of people will be surprised at the offense they see because it's going to be totally different.
I think I'll be surprised when we you know, get our kind of best long look at it, which may not be until the spring game. We'll see how these open practices continue to go. But I think Harburg's way more in the race than I would have assumed coming in. I mean, he was one of the first guys they made available last week at practice, which was interesting. You know, we all watch the Twitter highlight clips that Nebraska football puts out, and hey, there's Harburg running the option, which is always like catnip for Nebraska fans. To be honest, like catnip for myself, I still love the option. But you know, he's a super athletic guy. I mean, we had conversations going into spring as, oh, you know, is he maybe a tight end? Is he maybe this? Is he maybe that? It kind of goes back to, and I think that still could be possible. I mean, his athleticism is such that you want to find a way to get him on the field. And if that's through some specific packages, that gets really interesting. You know, Rule said going into spring, I'll let guys start where they want to start. And we'll see from there. Right now, he's quarterback. And it's way more interesting, I think, than I probably would have said coming in.
Great transition here, Brandon, because, I mean, you hit on two points that I really wanted to dive into. The first was everybody getting reps, like even reps, which is something you noticed. And then, you know, position movement, because you don't really know where somebody is going to land. But I want to ask you this, because it's super early, but, you know, maybe we'll find out come spring, like the spring game, who's going to be a solidified starter. Maybe. And that's what I want to ask. Is it too early to expect that from this staff? Or do you think some starters will be locked in to their position following the spring game?
I mean, I think there's a couple of guys, the usual suspects who you would feel pretty good about. You know, they were the best player at their position. And in the case of Luke Reimer, it's been two years with that, you know. But it's probably never going to be as solid as it would be if, you know, there wasn't a coaching change. And I do think it's a little bit early to expect the roster to feel kind of that firmed up once we exit the spring game, you know, because with a coaching change, you're going to get a bunch of guys in June who aren't here or early enrollees. And I think you always have a better chance to play as a true freshman when the playing field's been leveled a little bit. So they'll want to take a look at those guys. I think there's some guys in particular, you know, that I look at that recruiting class and are pretty high up there. I mean, Malachi Coleman, perhaps being a great example. So I don't think we'll leave the spring game. I expect we'll see a lot of rotation in the spring game, which, you know, still feels pretty far off, but it's really not. And we'll leave that, and we'll, people like us will try and piece together a depth chart. We'll all do that, and that's fun and good. But I wouldn't be surprised if a lot changed in those summer months where we don't really get to see anything.
Offensive line has been the talk, and I think rightfully so. There's, 10 scholarship offensive linemen. What are we – how much attrition or addition would you expect in that position group after the spring?
I think for Nebraska's sake, it needs to be much heavier on the addition than the attrition, because, you know, despite what I just said about wanting to get a look at some of these younger guys, O-line is a tough spot to do that.
Probably the position you don't want to have that happen.
Yeah. I mean, we have seen it happen, you know, a little bit recently with Nebraska, where you've had some true freshmen get some playing time and log some serious snaps. But I don't think it's never the preferred route on the line. It's just the one position where, you know, it's the most kind of craft-based position. Like, athleticism's great, size is great, length is great, but there's a lot of detail and technique work that goes in playing offensive line, and it just takes time to learn that, and particularly in a really good O-line league like the Big Ten. So that's one where I think I would expect Nebraska to go into the May portal with looking pretty heavily at the O-linemen that are in there. But as I've said multiple times, like, it's the toughest spot, I think, in the transfer portal. Like, the demand for those guys, for a junior, redshirt senior, veteran O-lineman who have played somewhere, doesn't even matter if it's FCS, is always intense. Those guys are in high, high demand.
We're talking to Brandon Vogel at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Brandon, we all know the hype that surrounds Dylan Raiola and the other fives and fours that were in town from out of state over the weekend. But some people have been pushing to reestablish, or one thing I should say, not something people have been pushing to reestablish has been the in-state pipeline. Who do you think is the most important in-state recruit in 2024 that this staff is thinking, if we only get one, we better get him?
Well, I mean, I think it's got to be Carter, just based on the attention and, you know, his ability as judged by, you know, what we can see. I haven't had the chance to watch him in person. I'm guessing Mike probably has at some point. So it's all like huddle video and, well, look at the offers. I mean, and it's still just, it's strange to me, kind of at my age, growing up when I grew up, to see that kind of attention for Nebraska football players. And it's happening more and more frequently. So you're always going to have a ton of eyes on that recruiting, that type of recruiting battle. And he's a jackknife player. I mean, he can do so many things that it's like, get him in. And I mean, it fits what Rule has kind of espoused as his philosophy, is like, get them in and, like, we'll figure out the best way they can help us, but also the best way that they can help themselves if they want to keep playing football beyond this level.
He's Thomas Fedoni 2.0. Like as a athlete, you know, all that, the attention, and from a local standpoint, I mean, that's what he is. He's Thomas Fedoni 2.0.
Brandon, last thing here before we let you go. You've heard, read, and probably wrote the reactions from many of the recruits over this weekend. The consensus centered around family, transparency, vision for the future. How do you think Coach Rhule and his staff do it differently recruiting-wise to make what hasn't worked in the past work again?
I think making a, you know, a serious effort. So everything they say, everything they've told us about their recruiting approach, like putting that into action, it, you know, so it's not just, well, you know, we try to create a family atmosphere, and that's getting, you know, that's in what you choose to do with them. I mean, I think seeing those recruits at a softball game and a baseball game over the weekend is interesting. It makes it feel more collegial to me. I mean, I was never in a position to be recruited at that level, but it's not like, oh, I'm just kind of a high profile football player who's come here to just do football. It's like, this is college. Like, this is what it can be if that's what you're interested in. And that's how we kind of like to see it. I mean, not just bringing recruits to games. The coaches were at games all winter and matches and all sorts of sports. So I think that's a big piece of it. Excuse me. And then also just spending time with the guys, which is another thing that Rhule talks about all the time with their current players. I think you see that transfer over to their recruits. It's kind of one of the best things they think they can do. And we'll see, you know, by all accounts, it was a pretty successful weekend from their standpoint, at least as successful as it can be for this type of event.
Camaraderie, big point there. Thank you, Brandon Vogel, for your time. We will talk again next week.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Yeah. See you, man. John Fanta up next.